Good morning. It's KSL News Radio and 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. I'm Amanda Dixon. Tim has the day off. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report. We're hearing from the owner of a home in Holladay that was destroyed after police detonated a lot of old dynamite inside the home on Wednesday. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with details. Adam?
Amanda, Terry Wojcik says the roughly 50 sticks of dynamite found in her home were her late husband's passed down through the family. Despite her home of more than 50 years and most of what she owned being reduced to rubble, she still has her neighbors in mind.
I apologize for the inconvenience. I mean, this was definitely not planned.
She tells KSL TV her husband was also a chemist who collected hundreds of containers of chemicals over the years, which most of them are now being removed by the EPA. Officials throughout this investigation say it's clear there was no ill intent on her part. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
City leaders in Holladay are reviewing what did and did not work when they had to blow up that old dynamite Wednesday morning. During a meeting last night, Mayor Rob Dahl says the risk would have been far greater if they didn't act.
Had we not come across those caches of dynamite and had it ignited, it would have been a catastrophic event.
The mayor says they had to make quick, unprecedented decisions since there isn't a playbook for events like this. They're now collecting an inventory of all the damage to nearby homes from the blast. Health officials are asking people to stay away from the Sugar House Park Pond and the Tanner Dog Park for a few more days after diesel fuel got into the water yesterday when a semi-truck crashed in Parley's Canyon. Salt Lake Fire Captain Brant Handcuff says it's going to take some time to make sure all the fuel is cleaned up.
Diesel fuel is a hazard, especially to pets, not only for drinking. If they ingest it, that would be a particular hazard for the pet.
The truck that crashed was carrying about 180 gallons of fuel. The health department is testing water samples, and it could take a week to get those results back. KSL's top national stories now. An investigation by the Associated Press has found that the practice of giving sedatives to people detained by police has spread quietly across the nation over the last 15 years. The injections are given by medical personnel during police encounters. The investigation shows how a strategy intended to reduce violence and save lives might have resulted in some avoidable deaths. The New York Court of Appeals overturned the 2020 rape conviction of former Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein, and now his attorneys in California are hoping for a similar result.
Now, questions linger over Weinstein's conviction in California, where in 2022, he was sentenced to 16 years in a separate rape case. Weinstein's lawyer in that case claims his client faced the same fundamental unfairness, saying the judge let the jury hear about four uncharged allegations of sexual assault.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley says Manhattan's district attorney says they plan to retry Weinstein in New York, which means his accusers could be forced to retell their stories on the witness stand. The Saratoga Springs Police Department says they've increased patrols in the Harvest Hills area on the north end of town. This after two reports in 2 weeks of possible attempted kidnappings. Police posted online that one of the people who made a report has since recanted their story, but police are still investigating the other report. A woman in St. George was arrested after police say she didn't like what another woman was wearing, and she tried to make adjustments.
That woman, Ida Lorenzo, faces a charge of sexual battery after St. George police tell KSL 5 Lorenzo reached her hand up the victim's skirt from behind. In a video shared online, Lorenzo is heard confronting the 19-year-old woman.
I happen to work for the state, and if I have to watch her cheeks hanging out again, I will call CPS.
Police spokesperson Tiffany Mitchell confirmed that Lorenzo did work for the state, and they continue to investigate exactly what happened, but it is not appropriate to pull that female's skirt down. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
A Magna man will spend at least 30 years in prison after pleading guilty to murder and aggravated kidnapping. KSL.com reports Mario Carreto Morales pled guilty to stabbing a man and pushing him out of a moving car on Bangor Highway in early 2022. The Weber County Sheriff's Office has come up with a scaled-back proposal to upgrade the county jail. KSL.com reports they want to spend just under $31 million to add medical and mental health treatment areas for inmates. The county proposed a bond of up to $98 million for jail upgrades last November, but voters turned that down. first look traffic on the 7 o'clock report, and back to you, Andy.
And right now, we've got delays over on 215's west side, a crash just after California Avenue. They took care of it pretty quick, so all the lanes have reopened, and we still have leftover delays from an earlier crash up near 700 North on 215. The main drive through the valley on I-15, still in about the 20-minute travel time range, 30 to 35 minutes between Ogden and Salt Lake. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
We've been telling you about plans to build a high-speed rail line connecting Las Vegas to Los Angeles, but we wanted to know, what does that mean for the possibility of high-speed rail to Salt Lake City?
President and CEO of Salt Lake City, Utah Committee for the Games, Fraser Bullock, says the LA rail isn't being built because of the Olympics. It was already underway. The Games just give them a big deadline for completion. Here in Utah, we don't have anything like that in the works. A recent grant proposal to work on a rail system was turned down. Instead, officials are working on enhancing our current infrastructure. Bullock hopes there will be major improvements in one of the main Olympic hotspots.
We're hopeful that there can be some great public transit expanded solutions there for Park City.
Britt Johnson, KSL News Radio.
The National Fencing Championship is underway right now in Salt Lake City, and KSL News Radio spoke to one competitor who flew in from California.
The event that I was in today was the Veteran 80 FA, which is to say 80-year-olds in a poke fest stabbing each other.
Jonathan Jeffries says he fought hard against the other seven men in his 80-year-old division. He didn't win, but he still got some hardware.
And like I say, because there were only eight of us and they give medals out to the eight, I got a medal.
Good for him. Some competition winners will be chosen to represent the U.S. at this summer's Paris Olympics. What could a professional NHL team in Utah mean for the state's wheelchair-accessible sports scene? KSL News Radio's Michael Commit is live with more. Michael?
Amanda, I got the chance to meet with author and Paralympian Hall of Famer Chris Waddell, who has several gold medals and adaptive ski events. He says adaptive sports are not exclusive to para-athletes alone.
Wheelchair basketball and sled hockey are sports where, you know, the athletes, the NBA athletes and the NHL athletes can jump into that device and play.
While there's no current plan to bring a sled hockey team around to Utah, Waddell hopes the community engagement an NHL team brings can get the interest going. Reporting live from the Delta Center, Michael Kimmich. On this radio.
Utah's new NHL hockey team coach told reporters that seeing all the support for the team here in Utah when they arrived was the best day of his seven-year NHL career. Can you imagine? But now, Andre Turney has a new side hustle. KSL sports anchor Sam Farnsworth picks up the story from there.
Turney has been selected as the head coach of the Canadian national hockey team. He'll be headed to this year's World Championships in Prague, Czech Republic, a tournament that actually begins in just a few days, May 10th. That'll run all the way through May 26th. Canada, the defending champions, no surprise there.
Team Canada has won two of the last three world titles. It was a quiet night for the state's former college football players who were hoping to hear their name called in the first round of the NFL draft. But it was a record-tying night as six quarterbacks were taken in the first round.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels. The New England Patriots select Drake May. The Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
The Minnesota Vikings select
J.J. McCarthy.
The Denver Broncos select Bo Nix.
That last quarterback taken by the Broncos will kick off a quarterback battle, which involves former BYU quarterback Zach Wilson, who was recently traded to the Broncos by the New York Jets. The BYU football team is picking up another quarterback. Former Utah State QB McKay Hillstead announced he is on his way to Provo. Hillstead broke a freshman record as an Aggie by racking up 399 passing yards in one game in September.